he's dialed in. You ready? This is the Schrader Show.
Welcome back to the Schrader Show. I am your host, Steve Schrader. Well, we're waiting for Peter to give us a call. Hopefully he will be joining us shortly. I know we've had him on the show before, so hopefully he will be giving us a call. And we'll get into the election integrity issues here in the state of Wisconsin. But again, it's not just here in the state of Wisconsin. We saw the Attorney General's race in Arizona decided by 240 votes. And of course, Republicans never win those super close elections. Now, the numbers that Peter provided, or that I've been provided with from some of the research Peter's done, are quite stunning, and I'm happy to share those with you. I'll wait to do that until hopefully he gives us a call here. So, but before we do that, I do have another, and usually I don't have good news stories at the top of the hour, but I do. This out of just the news today. As Democrats ramp up for gun control, a supermajority in the U.S. think gun ownership is good for society. I happen to be one of those who thinks that gun ownership is good for society. So here the article goes, a long history of gun ownership coupled with robust constitutional protections for firearm ownership here have led to one of the largest private gun stocks in the world. By the way, that's why we don't get invaded in World War II, probably, is because of the fact that we have such high gun ownership. Now, Scott Rasmussen reports, RMG research poll, and it was done by Scott Rasmussen and Rasmussen reports, 6 in 10 voters would prefer to live in a community, and this was the question, would prefer to live in a community where people are allowed to own guns. The polling also found, while more than 70% said there are positive benefits to allowing private gun ownership. That, ladies and gentlemen, is good news. So I wanted to share that. We've got Peter on the line. Peter, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Yes, hello. Nice to meet you.
I thought I've had you on before, but if not, nice to meet you as well. So we're joined by Peter Berniger. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Peter?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, perfect. And tell us a little bit about you. I know you're a data analyst, and you have done yeoman's work on the election integrity issues. Tell us a little bit about what got you so involved in this process, because you really are doing fantastic work.
Well, thank you. And we started a week after November 3rd, 2020 election, when I could see that the numbers were not adding up for a variety of reasons. But I want to stress that it's not just myself. We had a wonderful and have a wonderful team of volunteers across the state and some national connections who have provided tremendous help to us also. So what happened the week after November 3rd is we had a good friend who went to the polls on election day, showed up when the door opened, and she was told that she had already voted. Now, this is a person lived in the same community her whole life. She worked for the sheriff department, and the people knew her at the poll.
Wow.
And it showed that she had an absentee ballot cast in her name. Well, one, she never requested one. Second, she never filled one out, and she certainly didn't return one. And that's how it started. And one thing led to the next, to the next, to the next. And by chance, one of my best friends, Gary Waite, is a was a lead private investigator for Justice Gableman. And I was doing a lot of the data work, not for Gableman directly, but based on what all the groups, grassroots, and also the professional investigators, if you want to say, were finding across the state. And it just morphed into this, the more you look, the more you find.
Yeah, and it continues to be that way. You know, someone shared a little bit of just a note that you had put together, and I noticed that you said it was confidential, so I have not shared it with anyone else. But your first part of it, you talk about how, you know, Republicans seek votes by running political campaigns, you know, to get out the vote on the message. They raise money for TV ads, radio, lawn signs, door knockers, and consultants. And I believe this. Consultants are taking upwards of 40% of those donations, correct?
That's correct, and that's been proven now by that wonderful reporter of, I believe it was Red State, published the article on the RNC of how much money they're giving to the consultants.
Yep. And the huge difference is that, you know, Republicans are focusing on the campaign. Democrats are focusing on getting ballots in, whether they're fraudulent or not.
Exactly. And what's happening is the Republicans who are running the party at the state level, national level, they just don't get it. They're back in the 1980s trying to raise more money and more money to pay the consultants, to pay for radio and TV. And they said, well, if we can just get more money and just get our message out, people are going to vote for us. Well, they're chasing votes. And that doesn't work anymore when you literally have Claire Woodall-Vaugh, the city elections commissioner down in Milwaukee, printing ballots in the back conference room of room 501.
Yep.
And I've posted this whole story now on Twitter on the last 3 days. I put out 101 tweets, and it tells the story of what happened. And the bottom line is, there was sovereign fraud. And what I mean by that is the government officials, along with the nonprofits, the Center for Voter Information, and the Souls to the Polls, and MICA, and these are national organizations.
Right.
They came into our state with the permission and assistance with certain election officials, including Megan Wolf. Okay, she is in on the email chain that I obtained from public records request. I obtained approximately 550 emails of Mark Spitzer Rubenstein of CTCL, and that's where the Zuckerberg comes in, of the Brennan Law Center out of New York City. And they allowed these nonprofits who are very liberal in the political spectrum to come in as private citizens and run our elections. And that's exactly what happened in the Wisconsin 5, which is very well done by Justice Gableman in his three reports, which I believe are still on his website. So it's the sickening feeling of they've turned the government back against us. And then when you go talk to some of these state representatives or even some of the election clerks, they'll say, well, there's no election fraud. The problem is when you go ask them to see certain things, they'll say, no, you can't see that. Okay, that's the catch. And when I ask them, I say, okay, well, you show me all the item number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And what they'll do is they go silent because they don't know how to respond, because that's where the fraud is. And they come up with some phony, bogus excuse for us not to see the records or the documents or talk to certain people. So that's how they deny it to you and say, oh, there's no election fraud. Well, of course there isn't, because you haven't looked for it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And one of the things you point out, okay, there are in the WIS vote database, there are, I just had it in front of me here. There are 7,432,097 in the WIS vote system. The adult population of Wisconsin is roughly 4.6 million people. And
that's correct.
Yeah, and you've got these voting numbers that what, about 3.2 million people actually cast votes?
3.2 million in the 2020 election, yes.
In the 2020 election. So in other words, there's almost 2.5 times as many people in the WisVote database as there are, you know, voting age legally registered people, correct?
Exactly. And this is where I'm glad you brought that up, because the number one priority right now should nationwide should be us cleaning up and keeping clean the voting registration lists. They're completely tainted. They're inflated with either fake registrations or people who moved out of state or to another county, and they never noticed their former clerk. So they're still shown as active on the registration list. Those are actually the most dangerous ones, because we can tell that somebody's in the WisVote database and they're changing registrations. They're adding them and they're deleting them. But when you ask Megan Wolf, and especially right after the 2020 election, she would tell everybody, the whole public, this is on video, this is in writing by her, that don't worry, inactives cannot vote. What she always left out is the inactive and the active lists are connected to each other. Okay?
Yep.
So it doesn't matter that the inactives can't vote, because the inactives can be switched with two clicks, turned active, voted, and then switched back to inactive.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I don't think people understand how, you know, and again, the cowardice Republicans, okay, Robin Voss being the greatest offender of all of them, the cowardice Republicans, so Joe Biden's margin in Wisconsin was 20,600 votes, and you broke it down and said, you know, if you divide that by 72 counties, all you need is 286 stolen votes per county, and you can change the entire election. And 286 votes per county is not a lot of votes to steal.
Exactly. And you mix it in with the sizes of some of the counties, from Milwaukee to Waukesha to Dane County, and 286 votes is nothing when you know they're bringing in hundreds of thousands of votes in one election day. So it's so concerning, but though how they weaponize the whole system against us. And again, I have to stress is that they say there's no election fraud, but then they won't let you look at everything.
So now I would think, well, first of all, I'm going to jump and go back that, first of all, I find it amazing that you and your colleagues who are doing research, this database changes daily, and every time you want to get to this database, WEC is gonna charge you $12,500 to do it.
That's right, and we found out other states across the country. I believe Nevada, for one, charges $30.
Yeah.
Minnesota charges $50. Now, why are they charging $12,500? They're not supposed to. They're a government agency. They're not supposed to be a revenue generator, like in that capacity, like they are. But the reason they're doing it is because, one, they inflate the rolls, and two, they charge us $12,500 a pop, because it prevents, you know, most people from obtaining that data so they can analyze it. And even worse now is we found that they're changing things in there. Now, we don't know who yet, but we're going to find out. So people are in that WisVote system. And we've had clerks tell us on this whole FIDO key. FIDO key is a little USB stick with an encrypted code on it. You plug it into their desktop computer, enter a username, password, and they access the WisVote system. So we've had clerks tell us, so they have like three people in their office, the clerk, the deputy clerk, and an assistant, and WEC will send them like 12 FIDO keys. And on top of that,
let me jump in for just a second, Peter. You can stay with me, can't you? I need to take a real quick break, and we'll get right back to you. Is that all right?
Sure.
Absolutely. Okay. Back in a minute.